Hi, welcome to the Insight Hour. This is Dr. Len Horowitz. I'll be joining, actually right now, Sherry Kane's joining us tonight. We're going to have a couple guests calling in from the Big Island of Hawaii tonight to deal with some of the issues that are unfolding in Hawaii. It's an extremely interesting situation. The resolution that was passed, as you've been paying attention to this program, this broadcast over the last few weeks, the resolution that passed for the vaccinations, to eliminate the mandatory vaccinations and to actually instill the possibility of having all sorts of exemptions available to people from all religions, all philosophies, and essentially that has been passed by the Big Island, the main county of Hawaii, and that the resolution goes on now to the state, where it's going to be debated. Now, there's also breaking news in Hawaii, I understand, and our guests are going to be sharing that news with us tonight. They're on the line holding on. So in the meantime, let me just say hi to Sherry Kane. How are you tonight, Sherry?
I'm fine. How are you, Len?
Good. We are unable to get those cameras working correctly. So this is the camera that we're using tonight. It's not the highest quality that we've been able to work with, but at least we've got some feed going out right now.
Is there still a problem with our camera?
Yeah, I think that there's a basic problem with the connection. So I don't think we're able to solve it right now. And again, we're engaged with the show, so I think we better just forget it for now. For those of you who are watching on the internet, the best place to watch us right now is on BBS Radio. If you go to bbsradio.com, where Don and Doug Newsom and Seth and Engineering have been broadcasting us over the last several years, that's probably the best place for you to get tonight's show and tonight's clear feed. So thanks for bbsradio.com for carrying the Insight Hour. We come to you every Tuesday night. It's midnight on the East Coast, and on the West Coast it is 9 o'clock. In Hawaii, I understand it's probably about 7 o'clock. And we're going to be talking also tonight about some of the things that you can do. What I had scheduled tonight, what I planned for tonight, was so many people out there are so sick and so much in need of information and education, edification about how to stay well. And so we were going to talk a little bit tonight about not just OxySilver, but a five-step approach for taking better care of yourselves every which way, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, environmentally, above all, spiritually. There's a five-step program I laid out in the book Healing Celebrations that I had planned to cover tonight, but we're going to switch gears a little bit. It's always perfect, and it's appropriate, and we'll have some guests on, and then probably I'll give out the toll-free number for you to call in to ask our guests and myself and Sherry Kane some questions. So without further ado, welcome to the Insight Hour. Let me ask our callers to come in. Joe, are you on the line?
I am.
Well, welcome to the Insight Hour.
Thank you very much.
Quite welcome. Thanks for joining us here. And I know that Reverend Roxy Hampton had sent you to relay some of the things that are going on the Big Island. I understand that you're having some problems. First of all, why don't you share a little bit about yourself? And I understand you have a guest on as well. Maybe you can introduce your guest and yourself and then tell everyone listening what it is that's going on.
Well, actually, Dr. Horowitz, we're calling from Maui. And my associate, that is the other guest on the show tonight, is Kathleen Kohler. I brought her into a meeting with our Dr. Lauren Pang and to address the concerns of his recommendations that he had published in a local newspaper to have us go and not only get the swine flu shot, but to get the seasonal flu shot and to get Tamiflu as well. So I basically wanted to educate him on what I found. I'm a researcher for the Maui Research Institute, and I've done a great deal of research on these vaccines. So I wanted to educate this man on what the possibilities were of these shots. So I brought in the circulars associated with these shots. They're 21 pages long. I don't expect anyone that would actually read them. But what I pointed out was that no one's being told that if they have aspirin in their body, if they're allergic to eggs or allergic to gelatin, that they could actually have a neurological effect from these shots. So I wanted to point these things out to Dr. Pang so that he could make some kind of a statement and shift focus to something of a more natural response.
Well, I want to say hi. It's nice to meet you. I'm Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
I wanted to say that I don't know if you're aware of this, but Dr. Horowitz's mother died from the swine flu vaccinations that were given in the 70s, and she died from Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disease. So that kind of puts you on the whole quest for getting to the bottom of what was in these vaccinations and who was behind them. Isn't that correct, Dr. Horowitz?
Yes, Sherry. It is. So it's dear to my heart just as a human being, and saddened by what took my mother out. And with regard to what's going on with Dr. Pang, you know, I've heard of Dr. Pang before. His name has come up a number of times. He has an association, I understand, with Dr. Facchino. I wonder if you could give us a little bit of background about the chief directors in the state of Hawaii. And for those who don't know, Dr. Facchino had made national news not that long ago and is still engaged in litigations throughout the United States for having not revealed the full measure of truth with regard to Barack Obama, President Obama's birth certificate. There's litigations ongoing currently right now that are contesting his presidential election and his right, according to the Constitution, because he's not a naturalized American, according to a lot of evidence, where Dr. Facchino, the public health director for the state of Hawaii, had actually suppressed the information and then came out with some revelations to allay some of the concerns, but never revealed the actual document and showing proof within the document. She never allowed anybody to examine it. So for anyone, for all we know, it could have been a complete forgery, and it likely was. So I wonder, Joe, if you can give us a little bit of background on Dr. Pang, any relationship to Dr. Facchino, and what you see going on currently in this fascist state that of Hawaii, which is like every other fascist state of the United States, but it's really featuring a chief political mover and shaker in the world of public health and U.S. politics. Go right ahead.
Well, I don't know a great deal of Dr. Chiomi Facchino. I do know she's the director of our health department. I basically was called in to address this concern once the governor, Linda Lingle, had called in the National Guard to basically, as she classifies, administer the shots. Now, that put a panic across the state. People started contacting me from all over the state and asked me, as a researcher, to contact these folks and give them an opportunity to address this concern and to, you know, suggest something alternate, a more natural solution. So that's why I was brought into this. I didn't want people to be worried about two armed guards showing up, National Guardsmen showing up at their door and forcing them to get a shot. Obviously, it's an untested shot, and our meeting went very well with Dr. Lauren Pang yesterday. I was there with my associate, Kathleen, and we basically brought to his attention that the suggestions that he made were detrimental to people's health, and it was kind of interesting how he kind of skirted the issue and felt that when we talked about Tamiflu, for instance, I showed him documents stating that more than 9,000 people have been killed by Tamiflu and that it has a 99.7% failure rate. I did get him to sort of backtrack on that. He was kind of squirming in his chair at that point, not realizing that I was going to be presenting so much information. And then at that same time, I presented the circulars for the shots. As I said, no one's going to read these. They're 21 pages long and in small print. So he basically came to me after I suggested some of the natural alternatives. I also suggested that no one's being told that the flu is coming through the ear in many cases, that if by doing a saline solution rinse of all the portals, you can nip this in the bud. It takes 2 to 3 days for a flu to take hold. And if you do this on a regular basis, once or twice a day, you can nip this in the bud. So I have to tell you an interesting occurrence. When I suggested some of these things, and I also suggested Yin Chao, especially because Dr. Pang is Chinese, I thought he would be supportive of the Chinese medicine or Chinese herbs. But he said he wanted proof. And I have to tell you, I have proof because I did my own test last night. When I left his office, I left with the flu. I worked on it all evening long. I did vitamin C, vitamin D. I did a saline solution rinse of all my portals. I gargled with saline solution, and I did Yin Chao. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I felt my fever skyrocket and then break. And so today, I'm feeling a whole lot better, and I actually had the flu last night.
That's wonderful. That's great. Yeah, I got rid of that flu too, and I'm pretty sure it was the H1N1 flu because it had a pretty intense hit on my chest, and OxySilver blew it out for me in about 2.5 days. It was just like really great. I just was so thankful. You know, a lot of people, even my next door neighbors, they were suffering for about a week, and then I brought them some OxySilver, and then they got rid of it too in a couple days. So we're very, very thankful for using the natural remedies. Let me ask you a couple questions. Have you actually read what it is that we have advanced? It's on fluscam.com. It's on the resolution page, and it's my latest affidavit that next Friday when I come to the Big Island, I'm going to be following up to make sure that I actually file it with the state attorneys, the county attorneys, as a definitive notarized affidavit that gives the background on what it is that I'm witnessing with regard to the fraud of the actual submission by Dr. Facchino and Dr. Park of having lied, provable lies, to the county of Hawaii, which is a criminal offense. And there are many statutes that deal with this kind of fraud. I wonder if you've had an opportunity to look at that, Joe.
I printed it out. It's a 16-page document. I actually brought that in to the meeting with Dr. Lauren Peng to give him an opportunity to get himself out of the crosshairs. I basically suggested that this was an opportunity for him to come forward and publicly suggest some more natural alternatives. And so I basically came to him to try to help him and offer, you know, an out, if you will. So, you know, it was kind of funny. He just kind of shrugged it off. He made light of it. He sort of blamed the military that they're stealing the shots. When I asked him about the National Guard and the impact that it had on across the state, he basically said, no, that's not what has been planned. Our governor wanted to make sure that the National Guard was being taken care of. They've been forgotten. So this was their way of making sure the National Guard got the flu shot. And he says to me, the military is stealing our vaccines. That's what he told me.
Gee whiz, I'm just wondering whether you could get anything. You know, anything and everything that you get at this point is useful for evidence against these people. Because as you experience, they're in their own world. They're not interested in speaking reasonably or considering anything reasonable, rational, logical, and even scientific. They have an agenda. They have a fixed mind. In medicine, it's really called a scatoma, S-C-A-T-O-M-A. It's defined as a blind spot or an inability of insight into. You can't see the forest of reality through your own misperceptions. And that is what I'm witnessing, and I'm sure you just described. But I'm wondering, had you been able to, or can you get from him something in writing that summarizes your specific interview with him or your meeting with him? And the reason why is because out of your kindness, you've advanced a way for him to basically follow the law. And in the process, if he's going to reject your very kind and reasonable appeal, then it occurs to me that at this point he would be incriminating himself in further potential litigation that we're about to launch in the state of Hawaii.
He's going to be responsible when all the deaths occur and when all the mandatory vaccinations come down, if they happen to. I mean, he's going to definitely, his name's going to be on the line, his job's going to be on the line. So he needs to know
right.
He's going to be held responsible and accountable for anything bad that happens.
And the Tamiflu situation, we have enough evidence right now on just Tamiflu and its connections, and it's, like you say, the toxic waste that it is. And Facchino actually ordered that. I don't know if you are aware, she actually ordered a lot of that for the state of Hawaii. So go ahead, Joe. Take it away. Give us a couple minutes on those concerns.
Well, it was very interesting. When I had mentioned to Dr. Peng that he went from being one of the most respected members of our government to being in the crosshairs of the proverbial community gun, that he kind of said to us that he didn't care what the public thought of him. And that kind of hurt, you know, because I thought you are a public servant. You should be concerned of how the public sees you. You're our help. You're supposed to be helping us. And you're misleading us. You're bringing us down a path that could kill a whole lot of people. I didn't want to come out and say it, you know, but I'm thinking to myself, if someone is killed here in Hawaii by the shot, I think their spouse would probably retaliate and go after him. And this is a chance for him. I gave him a chance to pull himself out of that loop. And I'm going to give him a little time and see how he responds. I will do a follow-up letter and thanking him for allowing us to come in. They actually kicked us out. We spent so much time in there. But the point was that he kept insisting on testing of everything I mentioned, all the natural solutions that we mentioned. He kept insisting on testing, and I said, well, you're not testing the vaccine. You're asking for me to give you a test the results of the natural solutions that have been around for thousands of years, yet you're not willing to give us test results of the vaccine. So it was really kind of interesting to me how he responded.
Joe, let me ask you again, what is Mr. Pang's position?
He's our public health director, or department head on this island of Maui. So he's our basically our top health official.
And he reports to Putino.
I can tell you that this man has strong political interest to go further, and that's what he's trying to stay neutral or trying to go on the side of the CDC and the government so he can advance his political career. And I'm feeling that intensely just by what you're saying.
And I'm finding that out now as well. I'm finding that he is associated directly with WHO, the World Health Organization. So now I'm finding out more about this man and realizing what his motives were.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me, if you're going to be writing him a letter, then you'll have a good start on an affidavit of your own to be filed also with Reverend Roxy Hampton. And because it occurs to me that if their office sent you here to be with our show tonight to discuss this issue and what your experience was, then Emily's office has a important interest now, because they're about to, I understand, and I would ask you to follow up with them in the next couple days. I guess I'll be there by Monday. I'm coming into Kona on Friday night, so I'll be back on the Hilo side of the island on Monday. But in the meantime, between now and then, if you could relate to them what it is that occurred in some sort of a letter fashion, and like I did, put together a sworn affidavit of your experience with Dr. Pang, and then submit that with a specific request, just like I laid out the state statutes and the federal laws that are engage a whistleblower and that engage the commission of fraud by public health officials and or government officials, that then you would also not just, then it wouldn't just be Dr. Horowitz, it's Joe, it's Joe's folks, Joe's colleagues, it's Joe's organization on Maui, and gee whiz, it occurs to me that you would have a very, very substantial, powerful impact by doing that.
It would be my honor, Dr. Horowitz.
Yeah, and then we'll both, when next week, God willing, when I'm there, we'll both have a meeting, even if it's a conference call. If you can't get over to the Big Island, we can conference in from Emily's office. And we'll basically make sure that she submits our affidavits to the county council, the county attorney who's in charge of advancing these statements of fact and concerns with regard to the commission of fraud and even genocide, to the state's attorney general's office. Once we do that, I think it's just up to us then, Joe, to advance as much media and press coverage of this issue as we possibly can.
Sounds like a good plan.
And I would also point out, whatever you write, as I would point out that you realize he's trying to advance his political career. And I think that would, you know, if he doesn't, of course, see the light before then, I would point it out and say, you know, I've come to, you know, this realization that the reason why you didn't listen to what we were saying was because you had your interest in advancing a political career. I mean, I would definitely state that.
Well, I'm not sure, though, that you can hang too much on that if you don't have any evidence. But you had two witnesses, right? You have a guest with us tonight, right? Your colleague?
I do have a colleague here with me. Her name is Kathleen. She has some nursing background, and that's kind of why I suggested that she come along with me, not only as a witness to this meeting, but that she could explain her point of view about vaccines.
Well, yes. Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. Welcome to the Insight Hour, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what got you interested in this subject, and then what was your experience, and what do you plan to do about this?
Well, I have done a bit of medical assisting in the past where I worked in a clinic, and of course, what do? You give immunizations. And then I went through nursing school, and even up until a year ago, I was again doing immunizations in the clinic at the college itself. And I actually stopped when I found that there was a mercury derivative in the multi-dose vials of every vaccine there. And I brought it to the attention of the nursing director, the head of the clinic, and she swore up and down, no, we do not have mercury in our vials. And I showed her I did, and I actually never went back to work after that. I was so infuriated, and I let him know that experience as well. I go, you know, the head of the clinics don't even know what's in these vaccines.
That's right.
And so anyway, I just shared that with him, that's just one issue. And then you go into the fact that the vaccines are dangerous in themselves, not even to mention the preservatives. So I was there to support Joe, be his witness. And again, we did. I personally put a plea out to him to clear his name and to make his statement something that people could believe in. So he was put out some information that was detrimental. He and these people, they do not do any research except read what he says. He needs to correct what he said and give them point them in the right direction.
Well, it's so wonderful that Joe had the foresight to invite you to be a witness. Would you consider also submitting a notarized sworn affidavit to what your experience was in that office?
I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to pray on it, because you may have some second thoughts, but really, that would be very powerful, extremely powerful, if the three of us then already by next week even had the submission of three affidavits with regard to this issue on behalf of the county council, submission to the state's attorney general's office.
Yes, I understand. So, yes, I will pray about it. And, I actually would put it out to him one more time to please reconsider his steps and see if he can correct what harm he has done, because I believe there is definite harm in what he made public. So I would do that as well.
That's okay. Great. Yeah, if you're able to get, as I said, something in return in writing. Because, again, this is a state official, and although it's to you as a consumer or a concerned citizen, and therefore it has a different test than of legitimacy in comparison to what Dr. Facchino and Dr. Park submitted to the county. Because when you submit something to a government agency, to legislators, it immediately assumes a higher test of legitimacy. And that is what the criminal statutes are. They cannot lie to legislators. They could lie and get away with it, and they do all the time to people like you and I. But at this point now, Emily's office is involved, and I think that that's a wonderful blessing. And I pray that they'll have, with our three supporting opinions and affidavits even, that they'll have even more of a confidence to go into this as a political issue. Because my feeling is that Emily is up for re-election. I know that she's under some pressure in that regard. I know that with your help, this whole concept of turning this challenge that they've faced, like on the blogs. This past week, we had responded to what their need was to bring about more awareness of our side instead of the people that were challenging our team, so to speak, here. So the this whole concept now of bringing this issue to bear in a most powerful way that now can be accomplished, if you receive something in return from him, that would also be then part of the legal record as somebody like yourself that would be co-filing an affidavit in support of the charges of fraud and even treason and genocide against we the people of the United States.
I also want to thank everybody who's listening, who's actually written on behalf of Auntie Emily for the Hawaiian, the Big Island Chronicle. There was a lot of people writing in support of her, and we found that there was people that were not in support of the vote, and the vote was 7-1, and Emily and our team, we won the vote. People were coming out against that, and the few people that were against the vote, we believe they were people that had an invested interest, and they were definitely not looking at the reality that these vaccinations are deadly, and that mandatory vaccinations, whether they are happening right now or going to happen down the pike, that you have to be aware that these things are definitely able to happen. I mean, things happened in World War II that nobody predicted either, so it's definitely able to happen where we get all of our rights taken away and people storm into our house and demand that we show our bracelets for the vaccinations. And we're not really sure how they're going to go do it, but that could be a possible way, leaving, crossing a border or getting on an airplane, anything. So we're not sure how they're going to bring about the mandatory vaccinations, but it's people like Emily and Dr. Horowitz and Joe and all these people out there that are really fighting for our rights, for our constitutional rights, that these people, I mean, bless you all for doing that, because the people that are not awake right now, they don't realize that the Constitution could just go away tomorrow, and there's nothing that they'll be able to do about it. So we need to make sure that we plant the seeds, create awareness, and also make sure that we protect our rights by passing, helping to pass these laws, by writing these affidavits and getting these resolutions going. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, Sherry. You know, I want to also look at this issue and real misnomer of immunization versus vaccination. Almost everybody is calling it immunization. And interestingly enough, when you research the administrative rules of the Department of Health to look at the definitions of what immunization is, it's not at all what we think and not at all what we use that word in a sentence to relay. So part of the fraud that's been perpetrated in writing to the legislators that we're calling to the attention of the attorneys general is this misuse and abuse of the actual language within the health rules, the public health rules, including the word immunization, which is actually an administrative process. An immunization, classically legally defined, and health officials should know this because it's their rules and their definition book. It is where you plan a whole program to administer vaccinations, everything from laying out the staff to the protocols to the methods and materials used, the vaccines, the syringes, this whole process by which people are given vaccinations is the definition of immunization. The immunization program literally means the administrative process of administering vaccinations. It has nothing to do with boosting the immune response, either the cellular or humoral response of the body. And that is one of the most amazing things when you get into the law and you get into what's happening in terms of a gross deception on the public. That word has been completely abused. and that in the letter that was sent by Park and Fukino to the county councilors, who were men and women who were voting on this resolution, they implied that unimmunized persons, well, that literally means that they haven't had an immune response to a vaccination. And frankly, folks listening, I want you to understand that part of what their argument was, their official legal criminal document that was submitted to deceive the legislators, to get the legislators to vote down the resolution, one of the keys was them not only using this word incorrectly, which is fraud, but the fact is that they claimed that we, the unvaccinated, place the rest of the community at risk. And they made a statement, an additional statement, that is absolutely ludicrous and completely unscientifically based. They stated that there was a, quote, threshold level of herd immunity in the general community, that once you go over or under that threshold, you place either the public in protection or the public at risk. Now, that is a completely unfounded, scientifically baseless claim. And yet that's the kind of shoddy, just completely misleading, fraudulent, and grossly criminally negligent, because you're dealing with lives. You're dealing with people who are made sick from vaccine intoxication. And ultimately, you're dealing with the owners of the vaccine manufacturing companies that have a vested interest in not only making money, but actually reducing the populations right now. And so this whole concept of lying in your face in a legal document to the county council men and women is what we really need to focus on, and what I pray we will, Joe, and everyone involved in this will be able to accomplish.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I actually put a call into the Department of Immunization and asked them, why are they calling it the Department of Immunization and not the Department of Vaccination? And they were very rude to me and basically said, that's what we call it. And I said, do you realize that's very misleading? You're not the Department of Immunization. You're the Department of Vaccination. And so they just kind of blew me off.
Yeah, well, did you know, were you aware of the actual strict definition of immunization?
I was aware of it. You know, to me, immunizing, I think of it as your own body's ability, your own immune system, if you will. I referred back to the immune system of the body, and building that up. I didn't relate it to vaccines at all.
That's
correct. Well, yeah, see, but that's, you're right. You're basing your knowledge and this comment on the traditional understanding and even the older definitions in the medical textbooks and dictionaries of immunization. But believe it or not, it's incredible. Over the last couple decades, they've been able to erase all of that, and they're currently defining immunization as the administrative process by which vaccinations are rendered, having nothing to do, really, with the concept of boosting immunity against infectious agents. So I'm just wondering, when you said to them, you should be calling yourself a Department of Vaccination instead of a Department of Immunization, see, they could say to you, well, you don't know what you're talking about, because really, by strict definition, their rules that have been passed by the legislators now blindly following along with this sham, they actually are correct in stating, legally correct, that is, not ethically or morally correct. This is a fraud and a genocide they're perpetrating, but legally, under the color of law, they can get away with this because truly it is the process of administering these vaccinations that they are doing in that department. You follow me?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, interesting. So what were you planning to do next? What's happening in any other area that you're engaged in terms of activism?
Well, you know, my job here at the Maui Research Institute is to teach people self-healing, and that's what I do best. I show people alternate methods and basically put healing into their own hands. I don't touch any equipment. I don't do any treatments. I don't do any diagnostics at all. I basically just teach people. I'm just an educator. I've been at this for almost 10 years. I struggle to stay alive with mercury poisoning myself. I have ciguatera currently. And so I felt that it was my duty to step up and try to help the community. So that's what I do. I teach people self-healing.
Well, that's beautiful. And, you know, it's perfect for what I had thought we would cover tonight. Maybe you should start, you know. Why don't you give an overview of what are the principal ways that people should be thinking about boosting, normalizing natural immunity to make their bodies impregnable against the infectious agents that we're being, you know, throwing at us, they are, and the chemical intoxications. Can you maybe share a little bit about, you know, what it is that you would recommend? Assume for a minute now that everybody listening is a patient who just walked into your clinic and or educational service, and share with them what it is that you would recommend for everyone.
Well, what I wanted to make clear to everyone is the fact that a lot of the times the virus is coming in through the ears. No one's telling people this. And it takes 2 to 3 days for these flus to develop in the body. So what I suggest to folks is that they can do a saline solution rinse of all the portals. You can gargle with saline solution. You can use saline solution in your ears, but once or twice a day. And I use a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in my nose only because I don't want to have to smell the salt all the time. Then I increase vitamin C, vitamin D, and then I also recommend Chinese herbs. We use electromedicine, Rife technology. We detox with ionic foot spas. We have a whole number of natural methods to improve health. And I've seen improvement in 99% of the people that come through this research lab.
Oh, I bet you do. You know, it's amazing how the body, if really left alone, does great, miraculous healing all the time. And then when you basically boost it, and facilitate that natural process with the agents that are either missing or inadequate, then really you see tremendous, just like we were talking about how, you know, you within a few hours you can eliminate your flu. And I think that's great. You know, this I would just caution folks about the hydrogen peroxide. I actually know a person who used it in their ears, and I know you said you would use it only in your nose, but I just want to make it clear to everybody listening, because I know, and you probably know too, people hear something and then they misinterpret it and they end up getting into trouble. So
right.
I want to make it clear that I know a person who used hydrogen peroxide. It was the 35% food grade, I think, that they used, which was the worst kind, in their ear. And it burned out their hearing so badly that they basically became largely deaf. So I want to caution everybody. I would suggest that you stay away from hydrogen peroxide unless you really know what you're doing.
We recommend the 3%.
You recommend 3%, is that right?
And dilute it, actually.
And dilute that, and that's what you use just as a little nasal spray?
Well, what we're finding is that the flus are coming in through the ear, so people feel like they have an infection, an ear infection. That's the beginning stages. It's working its way underneath the eardrum and down the eustachian tube. I believe that in many cases it's not coming through the mouth, because if you drink something hot or some of the foods that you eat actually destroy the virus in your mouth. And I believe the nose has its own sort of protection system. And so what we're finding is in many cases it's coming in through the ears.
Is there anybody that's done any research and written some articles on that?
I have some research. I couldn't really pinpoint exactly where I found that research at the moment. I would have to go look in the files. But I didn't find this out until recently myself. And I ran it past Dr. Lauren Pang, and he agreed with me. And I said, why aren't you telling people this?
Yeah, well, why aren't they telling people a lot of stuff? And why are they telling people the stuff that they are telling them? You know, it's
right.
Like, man, what a grossly conflicting interest, gross negligence, and genocidal criminal intent.
Well, there is also...
His suggestion was to social distancing. He said stay 6 feet away from everybody. And I said, this is not a time to be staying away from everybody. This is a time to be loving on one another. You got to figure out some other alternative method.
Yeah. Sherry, why don't you have something to share?
There was a lot of reports of hemorrhagic pneumonia, which was developing in the lungs as well. So you'd have a lot of mucus, and your lungs would be filled up, and eventually they would start to bleed.
Yeah, that's the concept of what's actually killing people. Not H1N1, but it's called a cytokine storm. It's actually a result of systemic intoxication. And these micro-hormones, they're called cytokines, that respond to chemicalization of the body and infections of the body, that they go haywire, they go wacky, and the immune system totally gets in hyperstimulation. And ultimately, that's what kills people, especially the youngsters who have a very solid immune system. They're simply fundamentally grossly intoxicated. So let me share a little bit about the five-step approach. And maybe, Joe, as I mention each one, I'll stop and I'll ask, maybe you could give some of your feedback and comments and maybe some of your unique knowledge. First step is detoxification. I recommend the old Stanley Burroughs Master Cleanser, which you can get in most health food stores. It's cayenne pepper spike lemonade. And I highly recommend people get a product that's called Zeolife. You can read about it at zeolife.net. And those two things, if you simply started to do a good 9-day Stanley Burroughs Master Cleanser fast with cayenne pepper spike lemonade, made with, ideally in Hawaii, you can get fresh squeezed cane juice, which was the original formula by Dr. Burroughs. Grade B or C maple syrup if you can't. And then ultimately fasting on that for 9 days is going to not only detox, but also deacidify or alkalinize the body and really make it very difficult for any bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, cancer cells, arthritic conditions, all the chronic diseases don't do well. The infectious agents do not do well in a body chemistry made more alkaline. And you not only detox, you get rid of the chemicals, you get rid of the, ideally, the heavy metals included. Zeolife is great for that. But then you alkalize. Joe, go ahead. Give us some feedback on that.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Dr. Horwitz. I recommend detoxing with the Master Cleanse, and we use liquid zeolite. It builds a structural cage around heavy metals and allows it to be expelled out of the body. It's one of the things that we use to pull vaccines out. We've had several cases of Gardasil folks that had come in. They were basically turned from a young, active teenager to being like an 80-year-old decrepit woman after a series of 3 Gardasil shots. Wow. So we work on detoxifying the body. I focused on pulling that metal out using liquid zeolite, and I got one of the sweetest calls I ever got on Thanksgiving. They called me and said what they're most grateful for this year was getting their daughter back.
Yay, wonderful. What a blessing that is.
We want to also point out what Gardasil is given to for prevention of the HPV virus. That's the human papilloma virus, which they administer to 11 to 14-year-old girls. I believe they were trying to do that for boys as well.
Yeah, they're doing that too.
And it is mandatory to get that vaccination if you want to come to the U.S. state. So that's a mandatory vaccination that they say that any 11 to 14-year-old girl that wants to come to this country needs to have, and that is to protect them against sexually transmitted diseases. That's what their argument is, right? That will cause them to have ovarian cancers.
Yeah, it's a cancer trigger, actually. That's what the HPV vaccine is. And I was just, we're so blessed. This week, folks, we were blessed to be asked to take over the medical journal, Medical Veritas. And I have accepted that as the new editor-in-chief for this wonderful journal that intends to make science, bring science to the people, and bring the people to science in regard to health science.
The truth.
The truth, yeah. Medical Veritas means medical truth. And that this article, wonderful article, was submitted that we're just typesetting for publication by Harold Buttram, who is an MD who has produced many works on exposing vaccinations, but this particular paper deals with what we rarely talk about. The fact is that when you get injected with like HPV vaccination, which contains the human papilloma virus and it's attenuated or it's broken down or the genetic elements of it are still injected along with the proteins into these poor children's bodies, then those children's cells actually mutate. Many of the cells pick up the foreign genetic material, and that those children, when they have children and their children's children, ultimately has the potential of triggering for every generation to come mutations. Now, what's interesting is that the Bayer Aspirin Corporation, last week lost a lawsuit associated with their seeds. They were actually involved. The Bayer Corporation has an agricultural division, and that agricultural division uses genetically engineered microbes, GMOs, to create seeds that then have the capacity, when the bees cross-pollinate, it sends the foreign genetics to other plantations, other farms, and other crops. And so the Bayer Corporation last week actually lost a lawsuit that's a very landmark lawsuit. Now, if you think about it, what I just said, these vaccinations causing these mutations in children who are going to have children and their children's children, generations to come, are going to be mutated. Ultimately, this is a gross violation for which the companies, including the vaccine corporations, are currently liable.
And I also want to point out, in a lot of the recent cases of people, of young girls that were injected with the HPV, the Gardasil vaccination, these girls were sterile afterwards, and also many of them died. So that if they don't go into what Dr. Horowitz said, have their cells mutated, which will cause problems for them down the line, then it'll be sterilization or even death. So we definitely don't recommend you give that to, or tell all your friends not to get that vaccination or any vaccination. No. So, and as we always stress, don't get vaccinated.
And what we noticed with Gardasil was that the more active the girls were, the more it affected them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, give me that again, Joe. The more active the girls
were? Active they were, the more it affected them. Most of the girls that were killed were athletes.
Athletes, yeah. It's because when you're given HPV vaccine with the adjuvants included, it just whacks out, hyperstimulates a very solid immune system, and that's what's killing and really maiming these children today.
And I believe it when you mentioned that these girls were all very active, I believe it's definitely connected with their adrenaline. It speeds up the process and just makes
them
sicker.
Well, that's a stress, absolutely, yeah. They're under athletes, you know, are higher levels of stress, but they're supposed to be more capable. But generally speaking, whenever you intoxicate the body with all of these chemicals, the genetic materials, and then the chemicals, all of the proteins, the autoimmune diseases flare up, all of these conditions that are associated with the suppressed knowledge of vaccine injury and adverse events reporting and surveillance, all of this is gross criminal negligence. The fact is that you could send men to the moon, supposedly. You could have the most advanced stealth bombers, but you're telling me that you can't set up some sort of a system of reporting from your doctor's offices or your health centers that survey patients who are injured from vaccinations? That's really what it amounts to, gross criminal negligence. Let me go into the next couple steps because we've only got a couple minutes left. We've only covered the first two. Detox, deacidify or alkalize. The third way is very important in the five-step healing celebrations process. The book is called Healing Celebrations. I did years ago. It goes into this. There's a website for those of you listening, healingcelebrations.com. Lays out these five steps. I would encourage you to read that as an overview and then get the book. And actually do the exercises, do the fast, do the different recommendations. But boosting or normalizing your immunity holistically, that means every way possible. You have to consider that this body temple is a spirit vehicle. It's really fundamentally a spiritual being we're dealing with. That's why Joe might want to mention something about acupuncture and or homeopathics. The fact is that you're a physical, mental, emotional, social, and a being, and on top of that, your environment is extremely important. So all of those issues have to be considered in boosting or normalizing natural immunity. Joe, what do you say?
Well, when folks come to me, I explain to them that we are healing mind, body, and soul. And so that's all part of the program. You know, we encourage stimulate the lymphatics, detoxify, replenish with minerals. It's all part of the program. I agree with everything you're saying. It's a wonderful program.
Right. And then the last two are the most powerful of all. Oxygenation, therapies, technologies, every single way that you can get more oxygen into your bloodstream. Oxygen element number 8 is the most powerful healing element in the periodic table. That coupled with hydrogen, you're looking at water. That's the most powerful universal solvent. It solves all the problems. Go to livehh2o.org and read all about the miracles of water. So good hydration as well as oxygenation is extremely beneficial for protecting your body against the infectious agents and virtually all the chronic diseases. And last but not least, and then we've got to end this program tonight, is bioenergetics. Joe mentioned it earlier, Rife frequency generators, technologies that use energy. If you're a spiritual being before you're a physical being, why then would you pop magic pills to chemically induce changes in a body that's fundamentally energetic and energy? So bio-spiritual or bioenergetic therapies, sound, color, light therapies, Rife frequency generators, essential oils, homeopathics, all of these have resonant energy frequencies, and this is what really makes us healthy and sustains us holistically. Joe, I want to thank you and your guests. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Yes, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Kathy, for being on with us. I want to also thank Reverend Roxy. We want to thank Auntie Emily for all the great work that you're doing, and thank all of our guests for listening and for supporting us. And we also want to highly recommend OxySilver. If you haven't tried it, go to OxySilver.net. It's the world's most powerful silver hydrosol, and it'll keep you definitely immune to all of these flus that are going around and eliminate the need for those risky, deadly vaccinations. And like Dr. Horowitz mentioned, go to Zeolife, and that's an amazing blood cleanse. If you have been vaccinated, definitely try Zeolife. Go to Zeolife.net. And we want to tell you all that wish you a happy, happy, healthy new year and a happy holiday. And God bless you all.
Right. And next week we will be actually broadcasting on BBS Radio from the Big Island of Hawaii. And I don't think we're going to have, unless we can figure out some way of broadcasting, I'm not sure we're going to have the video next week. For the next few weeks, we'll be on the Big Island. And just pray that we'll be with you again next Tuesday night. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Thanks to BBS Radio for carrying us. And stay tuned now for Don Nikoloff and Evident Footprints. Signing off. Be blessed. Bye for now.